This book addresses the fascist position on truth, which lays the foundations of what became a fascist history of lies. This history still resonates in our present time whenever fascist terrorists, from Oslo to Pittsburgh and from Christchurch to Poway, decide after turning lies into reality to act on them with lethal violence. At the time I finished this book, a fascist massacred 20 people at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, in the worst anti-Hispanic attack in the history of the United States. This fascist terrorist invoked a truth that has nothing to do with actual history or with reality. In fact, he invoked the inconvenient truth in the title of his short manifesto. The killer maintained that his attack was a preemptive action against Hispanic invaders, and that they are the instigators, not me. He was especially concerned about the American-born children of Hispanic immigrants, whom he clearly did not consider real Americans. In doing so, he promoted a vile and racist metric that he and others believe should be the standard for determining American citizenship or legal status. This metric is based on things that never happened. Immigrants do not cross the U.S. border with the intention to conquer or contaminate. But this is not what the racist ideology of white supremacy alleges. Fascist racism itself is based on the lie that humans are hierarchically divided into master races and inferior races. It is based on the purely paranoid fantasy that the weaker races aim to dominate the superior ones, and that this is why the white races need to preemptively defend themselves. These lies led the killer to kill. There was nothing new in the terrorist's conflation of lies and death, or his projection of his racist and totalitarian views onto the intentions of his victims. Fascists had killed many times before in the name of lies masquerading as truths. But in contrast to previous histories of fascism, this time fascists share common goals with populists in power. In other words, their racist views are shared with the leadership at the White House. Fascism acts from below, but it is legitimized from above. When the Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro openly denigrates Afro-Brazilians, or when the American president Donald J. Trump talks about Mexicans as rapists, or an invasion arriving in caravans, they legitimate fascist thinking in some of their political followers. Racist lies, in turn, proliferate in public discourse. As the New York Times explained following the El Paso shooting, at campaign rallies before last year's midterm elections, President Trump repeatedly warned that America was under attack by immigrants heading for the border. "You look at what is marching up. That is an invasion," he declared at one rally. "That is an invasion." 9 months later, a 21-year-old white man is accused of opening fire in a Walmart in El Paso, killing 20 people and injuring dozens more after writing a manifesto railing against immigration and announcing that this attack is a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas. The same lies that motivated the El Paso killer are at the center of Trumpism and the so-called effort to make America great again. Lying about things that are part of the permanent record has become part of the American president's daily routine. Trump continuously has used specific propaganda techniques, lying without consequence, replacing rational debate with paranoia and resentment, and casting reality itself into doubt. Trump's attacks on the mainstream media, and the extensive documented instances where he claims he didn't say something that is in fact in the public record, are related to the history of fascist lies analyzed in this book. Further, the Trump agenda transforms ideological premises, often based in paranoia and fictions about those who are different or feel or behave differently, into actual politics that include adopting racist measures specifically targeting Muslims and Latino immigrants, as well as denigrating black communities, neighborhoods, journalists, and politicians. At the same time, he has defended white nationalist protesters who attended the march in Charlottesville, Virginia, where a counter-protester was murdered. As Ihsan Tarur explained in the Washington Post, he has stoked white nationalist grievances among his base while demonizing, belittling, or attacking immigrants and minorities. Just in recent weeks, the president launched tirades against minority congresswomen and spoke of the nation's inner cities as zones of infestation. Ahead of the 2018 midterm elections and now, as his re-election campaign gets into full swing, he stirred fear and anger about an invasion of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border, warning of an existential peril marching into the country. How is it possible for the White House to promote and provoke acts by fascist terrorists? As I explained in my previous book, from fascism to populism in history, we are witnessing a new chapter in the history of fascism and populism, two different political ideologies that now share an objective.